This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So today's khutbah, inshallah, I will speak to you about the attacks of shaitan that he described. The first time we spoke about the attacks from the front, and today I'm going to talk to you about he comes at us from behind. And how that is actually a very different kind of attack of the shaitan. If time allows, then I'll also delve into the attack from the right and then eventually from the left. So what I want to speak to you about, as far as what's behind us, the most immediate imagery of what's behind us is actually our history. Whenever you go through a day, that's behind you now. It'll never come back again. And so the most immediate and most powerful way to understand this attack of the shaitan is that he will use your past against you. He'll use what you've gone through in life, the experiences you've had, the things that you've lived through, and he will manipulate those experiences. Because in some psychological sense also, we are the sum of our experiences. Every experience you and I go through affects us in some way. It impacts the way we think, it impacts our emotions, maybe it even affects our future decisions. Somebody who gets into a car accident, the way they drive changes. The same way when somebody gets, has a bad relationship with a friend or something, a falling out with a friend, the way they interact with them afterwards changes. So experiences affect the way we make future decisions. Now shaitan, his job is to try to mess us up in some way, get us off the straight track. So I'll highlight some of the ways he uses our past against us, and we think these are thoughts that are happening inside of our own heads, while it's actually the shaitan. And that's one of his great successes, is you think that these are your own thoughts. But these are wasawis. These are just whispers of the devil where he's trying to make you fall back into something that you may have fallen into before. One of the ways that he does that is that maybe, for example, you used to be a better person. Maybe you used to be more diligent with your prayers. Maybe you were more observing of, if Allah forbade something, you stayed away from it. And if Allah said this is allowed and that's the only thing, you were content with that. And you didn't fall into Allah's disobedience. And you were good. You could look back and you say you were good. And some people are like that. They look back and they say, you know what? There was a time I was a much better person. I'm disappointed with myself now. I remember the time when I used to stand in prayer and I used to cry. I don't know the last time I've shed a tear. Or I used to feel so much connected to Allah. I used to just kind of do dhikr all the time. I used to make the dua for coming into the house or leaving the house or going into the restroom or coming out of it. Or I used to just have every excuse to remember Allah. I used to be much kinder with my words. Now I use foul language. I use bad words against people. I lose my temper. I speak about people. I backbite. I've developed all these habits. I didn't used to be like this. But I was a much better person. So there's one thing to compare yourself to somebody else, but even when you compare yourself to yourself, some people were in a much better place before. And so shaitan says, well, that part of you is dead. That's gone. That's never coming back. Listen, that's over with. This is who you are now. And he'll make you almost give up on yourself. While the reality is that if you are capable, if Allah made you capable of living a certain way and living by a certain standard, and you upheld it, you were able to do it, then that actually means that you will forever be capable. That's actually proof to yourself. It's one thing that you never accomplished something. You were never able to accomplish something. And you say, well, I can't do it. Well, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe you haven't even tried. Or maybe I can't say for sure that you're capable. But you lived by something. You had certain capability. You were doing better. Now it's known that you have that, you possess that in you. That faith in you, that strength in you. And so shaitan wants you to convince you that you no longer have that capability because of whatever experiences you've gone through or I've gone through, now we will never go back to who we were again. At least in our spiritual sense. We can't go back. Now understand something. Emotionally, maybe you can't go back. Emotionally, when somebody's scarred, maybe they're changed forever and that's okay. That's life. That happens. Maybe if somebody, the loss of a child is not something easy to get over. For example. So there are kinds of trauma or kinds of experiences that maybe our entire lives will be chipping away at trying to heal, and we may never get there. But shaitan uses that to mess you up, not emotionally, but spiritually, to mess with your connection with Allah, and to basically get you to say, well, you know what? You've gone through these experiences, so what's the point of prayer? The prayers no longer count. And so that's one kind of attack the shaitan uses against you and me, is to make you lament, make you think back with regret about better days that are never going to come back for you. The other thing shaitan wants you to do in the, you know, from behind is, you know, things that you, bad experiences that you had, and you start questioning, why did this happen to me? Right? You and I have gone through terrible experiences in life. This is a part of life. Allah created this life as a trial. And every one of us has different kinds of trials. And some of those trials are not easy. And when you think about what happened, it's very painful. And it can be paralyzing. It can be something that you're overwhelmed, almost reliving the event that occurred in the past. And one of the things shaitan wants is to keep you there, to keep you thinking about the past, to keep you thinking about what happened, and keep questioning, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Maybe I deserve it. Maybe I'm cursed. Maybe I'm no good. This is why Allah is angry at me. This is why He made this happen to me. And so you live in that moment that happened some time ago that Allah actually brought you out of. But shaitan doesn't want you to come out of it. He wants you to stay in that hopelessness. Because he wants you to be convinced, like he's convinced, that Allah has no hope for him. Or that he's hopeless case. There's no turning back for him. Or that Allah hates him even. So people will develop, you and I might develop, because we're thinking about that event all the time, not just anger towards people who hurt us, but even towards Allah. Like, why did he let this happen to me? Why did he do this to me? I didn't deserve it. And so when you think about the kinds of experiences that prophets went through, alayhi salatu wasalam, you'll appreciate something. Allah, the prophets Allah talks about in the Quran are in so many cases people that had such difficult lives. They had such, you know, even before they became prophets, they had extremely, extremely difficult lives. Think about the life of our own messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whose parents die in childhood, right? Who goes through, you know, one care to another care to another care, and every time he has somebody that is basically taking care of him, they pass away, and he's passed on to someone else, and he's passed on to someone else. How difficult is that for a child? How difficult is it for a parent to lose their child? Our messenger experienced losing children, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the thought to come, why did I deserve that should happen to me, or why did my child deserve to die like this? And every time you see somebody else's child healthy and running around, it reminds you of the child that you don't have anymore, that sort of thing. So these are the kinds of pains Allah put even prophets through, alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason I'm saying that is for you and me to know that these pains that we experience in life are not a proof that Allah has cursed you, or Allah is angry at you, or you're going through bad experiences because Allah is mad at you and Allah is punishing you for something. That's not the case. Some of the best people that ever lived had very difficult lives, had very hard times. And it's not because Allah doesn't love them. So this life was made with trials, with difficulties that we have to learn to navigate. Shaitan wants us to believe everything that happens to us, somehow figure out a way to blame Allah for it. Figure out a way to blame Allah. Why? Because that's what he did. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He blamed Allah. When he refused to do sajda and he was cast out, he blamed Allah immediately. That's where he wants you to get to. And so he uses that past bad experience, that painful experience, to try to pull you away from Allah also. Another way he uses your past is that he will, you know, maybe some of us, we lived a life of sin before. Maybe you had friends or, you know, your relationships that were leading you down a road of sin, that you kept falling in and falling in and falling in. And you figured out a way to make tawbah to Allah, and you cut off those friendships and you cut off those relationships. Whether those people are, you know, their judgment is with Allah. But you for yourself, you decided that those people may not be evil, but I know that when I'm in their company, or when I'm around, then I fall into evil. So I'm going to try to protect myself, and I'm going to pull away as much as I can, and try to fix myself with Allah. You will know, in your personal life, who those people are. And maybe you had people like that in your life, that were pulling you into sin, whether they realized it themselves or not. And maybe it's not even their fault, maybe it's your own weakness. But since you recognize that, you say, you know what? Every time I've tried, I've fallen back into sin, I'm going to discontinue some of these relationships. Not because I hate these people, not because I'm better than them, not because, you know, I want them to suffer, but because I want to save myself. I want to pull myself away. And when you pull yourself away, shaitan will come and say, hey, don't you miss the old friendship? You don't miss those guys? You don't miss her, man? You don't miss this? You don't miss that? And he wants you to pull back. Go back. Go back. Go back. The same way some people left sin. Literally sin. They left drinking. They left drugs. You know, they left adultery, they left fornication, they left evil deeds. They walked away from them. They changed. But sometimes the devil comes and triggers you and says, hey, you're going through a hard time. Just one time. Just go back. Not forever. But come on, you had a hard week. It's been a tough month. You've gone through a lot. Just go back just a little bit. And you know what that used to be like. And they say in Arabic, there's a saying in Arabic, you know, kullu mamnu' matlub. Everything forbidden is desirable. Right? So even though we, after faith, you develop a regret and an embarrassment over the sins you and I may have committed. And we develop almost a hatred for repeating those sins again. At the end of the day, we're also human beings. And human beings have temptations and desires. And that's one of the things that shaitan wants to manipulate. So he'll try to pull you back and try to get you to say, hey, come on. You know how it used to be, right? It was so much better for you. You felt so much easier. And why deny yourself? Who's going to find out? Just go back. So he wants to pull you back into a way of sin. This is the way that he comes at you from behind. So many pulls at you from what is drawing you into what used to be. You know, and you have to be mindful of that. It may be, and it'll lead us into talking about how shaitan attacks us from the right. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about that today. But I want you to understand something. Shaitan doesn't necessarily tell us to do the wrong thing. This is important. Shaitan doesn't necessarily tell us to do the wrong thing. Shaitan wants us to take one step. And when you take one, if a destination is a thousand miles away, if a destination is a thousand miles away, and you just took one step, you're not going to feel like you made any progress. You're not going to feel any harm. If there's a fire 100 feet away, and you took one step towards the fire, are you going to feel any hotter? No. I didn't do it. I didn't burn. Nothing bad happened. And he's okay with one step. He's completely okay with one step. And if somebody else says, hey, you're taking a step, I was like, what, did I touch the fire? I didn't touch it. There's nothing wrong with that. So he says, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And then the next time around, just a little, one more step. Just one more step. Just one more step. This is exactly what he did with our parents. The entirety of Jannah, the size of Jannah, is greater than the skies and the earth. عَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتْ وَالْأَرْضِ The real estate size of heaven is the entire skies and the earth combined. All of it combined. And Jannah is called Jannah because the Arabic word Jannah means covered in green or covered in trees. So all of heaven is covered in endless trees. Now think about this. How many trees were forbidden? One. In an endless universe of trees. So even if that one tree is forbidden, staying away from it would be pretty easy because it probably would be hard to find because it's one tree in trillions and trillions of trees. And yet shaitan gets them to take one step, then another step, then another step, one step at a time. He won't come out and say, do haram. No, no, no. He'll mask it somehow. He'll mask it. And that leads me into at least introducing you to how the devil pulls us from the right. How shaitan gets us from the right. Understand, the first thing about the right that I'd like you to know is that the Arabic word right is used for good deeds. It's also used for honor and nobility. When somebody gives you their yameen, actually means their right hand, means they've taken a pledge or an oath. When people shake hands, the right hand, that means that they're going to honor their deal. You know, and in many cultures, it's the right hand. As a matter of fact, when you go to court and testify, the fact that your testimony is good and credible is you raise your right hand. So the idea of the right hand in Arab culture and also other cultures is that of nobility, good deeds, doing things the right way, which is why on Judgment Day, we pray to Allah that we are people of the right hand. Ashabul Yameen. We're people of the right hand. So the right is associated with good. Similarly, the angel that you know about documents our good deeds on the right. So the idea of the right is associated with good, which is confusing because the devil is trying to attack you from the right. You would think the devil would attack you from evil deeds. But what Allah is saying is the devil is actually going to try to attack you and me from good deeds. What in the world does that mean? There are lots of ways that he does that. I will introduce you to one of them today, inshallah, and we'll call it a day because I don't want you to get, I want you to keep some of these things present in your mind also. I could deliver lots of information to you, but I want you to be able to retain these things and spend time this week thinking about them. My hope in these khutbahs, as we go through these ayat of Surah Al-A'raf, is that we consciously think about what this means in our lives. You consciously, well, this is what the devil does. How does he do that in my life? This is what he talked about here, what Allah told us here. Well, how does that apply to me? And the way it applies to you may not be the way it applies to the person sitting next to you. The person even in your family. It's different for you and it's different from someone else because he studies each of us separately. He attacks each of us separately. So from the right, just one thing that I want to highlight to you, and inshallah we'll talk about more next week, inshallah ta'ala, is that he comes at us, Allah says, وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, that shaitan beautified their deeds to them. This is one of the scariest ways he comes at us from the right. We came and prayed. That's a good thing. We did a good deed. People go to do hajj. That's a good thing. People fasted. That's a good thing. These are good deeds. Somebody give charity. That's a good thing. You help somebody. That's a good thing. But when you start thinking that your good deeds are absolutely accepted by Allah and you're all set, you have nothing to worry about now because you've done good deeds. Because you prayed, so you're a good person. Ah, man, all those people who don't pray, I feel sorry for them. Because you're now in a better position because you did something good. And that he starts gassing you up with your good deeds. And he starts filling you with this false image of yourself that because you've done so much good, clearly you're amazing. Clearly Allah loves you. And you're so much better than those people who don't do those good deeds. Now these good deeds, the purpose of them, every time we do something good for Allah, I want you to remember just one example, and that is of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam did one of the most amazing deeds ever done. He built the Kaaba. And think about that. Every time somebody prays, he gets a part of that reward because we pray towards the Kaaba. So since its construction, just like people who help build this place, anybody who prays here, they get a reward. They get a piece of that. Anybody who prays in any masjid, anywhere on earth, every time they pray, a piece of that reward goes to Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's incredible, the deed that he did. And you know what? When he was building the Kaaba with his son, this is one of the most amazing deeds. If you want to talk about a deed that you did, which means you're set. I mean, your count of good deeds is, the commission is incredible. It's incredible. As he's building the Kaaba, you know what dua he made? He asked Allah, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Rabb, our Master, please accept from us. Please accept from us. As though he's not confident that this is good enough. Maybe one brick didn't go in the right place. Maybe my intention wasn't as pure as I needed to be. Maybe Allah is not pleased with one, maybe I got a little lazy here or there. He's questioning himself. He's not confident, Ya Allah, thank you for giving me this honor. Now that I'm set, I can be on vacation. No. There's no such thing for him. He didn't lay back and become complacent because he's doing good things. He's worried and he's begging Allah, Ya Allah, please accept from us. When you and I pray Jumu'ah, at the end of that prayer, how confident are we that the angels documented a perfectly executed prayer? Or did our mind go somewhere? Did our phone, buzz for a second and our mind went somewhere else? Or we were thinking about 20 different things when we were praying. Or we were, jittering and bothering somebody else when we're praying. We do all kinds of things when we're praying. How imperfect are our prayers? For you and I to think, man, I went to Jummah. I got there even before the Adhan. So put that. That's like, I should get like VIP tickets to Jannah. Because, seriously, I pulled it off. That's not the attitude. That's not the attitude for fasting or hajj or any act of worship or any good deed. Don't remind yourself of the good you and I have done. Remind yourself, and I remind myself, to beg Allah to accept whatever we've done. That's what shaitan doesn't want. He wants us to think we're all good. Now that you did a good deed, you're set. So may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the attack of shaitan that comes from behind. And may Allah protect us from the attack of shaitan that comes from the right. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.